The song that we just sang asked God to give us compassion. And everything that we do and everything Jesus does, I believe, was motivated by compassion. And that's also what should be motivating us, love, compassion. When I went to Mozambique and was overwhelmed by the needs there, it caused me to look at the Bible in a new way. And one story I know that you've been considering that I also considered was the feeding of the 5,000, overwhelming that number of people without food, what to do. But when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. That's what the Bible says. He had compassion, and so he taught them. And then after teaching them, he realized that they were hungry. They didn't have food to feed. But as you know, he asked the disciples, "What do you have?" The disciples had 5 loaves and 2 fishes and gave them to him. And what did Jesus do with those? He lifted them to God and thanked God. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples dispersed them. It's compassion. It's looking at what we've got. It's looking at what the needs of the people are. It's giving what we've got to God and thanking him and then using that for God's benefit, God's glory, and the benefit of the people. There were some times when what was in my hands was something very basic, and I just thought this was a light, humid thing for you today. A lot of what we did was in some ways overwhelming, but sometimes we could serve God in small ways. So one day we went in for some lunch. God had blessed us with some bread and other things, but we wanted a cup of tea. Unfortunately, there was nowhere to put the kettle, and that's when I had to use my hands to hold the kettle while it boiled. And God will use us in every way necessary. When I come to you today, I come with a very, very grateful heart, because there is big needs in Mozambique. There are many people who are lacking justice. But God provided people. He provided opportunities. He really blessed us. And when I come before you today, I can only come with a grateful heart and say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for what you put into our hands, and thank you for what you did. But I also come before you, this group of God's children, to thank you as well, because I don't know how much you would believe that your prayers and that your interest spurred us on. The fact that every single month you had a day where you heard about our work, that you were interested, and that you prayed, brought so much encouragement to our team and to me. In fact, you're the only church that did that. I've got many churches. We've all got, all of us mission workers, have got many churches that are supporting us. But Parsons Heath was the only church that every month sent an email saying, we prayed for you, we're wondering how things went, how are things now? We're going to pray for you. And so, motivated by that, I would get on my knees and pray for you. And I would ask God if he would give me something maybe that I could share with you as well. Because all of your prayers, all of your support, and all of your encouragement meant that all these photos I was able to show you today were realities. We felt very much that we needed to have a seminar for pastors. We wondered if we'd get maybe 50. God brought us 170, and that was your prayers. That was God working with what he had given us. Thank you. Thank you, God, and thank you, you. We were offered to go out into a community one day to a school on a Saturday, bring some lawyers with us, and talk to people about their legal rights and responsibilities. I brought that to Chris. He shared that with you. And God provided. He provided us exactly the right numbers of lawyers and law students, and he provided us exactly the right number of clients, so that each of our lawyers and law students were busy but not overwhelmed. And God was great. God was good. And there were some photos that I showed you. So I want to just use this opportunity to really praise and glorify God and thank God, and really to thank you as well. Bless you. May God bless you. Today, when I prayed, I had very much on my mind Isaiah 58, and I didn't really want to bring that reading because it's really hard. It's really hard for me. It's really hard for all of us. But I do believe it's what God had for us, all of us, today. And he has it for me as well while I'm in this time of considering what's next, because I still must be keeping the Sabbath. I still must be ensuring I'm not oppressing people. I still must be ensuring I'm doing justice, because that's God's requirement. In this reading, God is clearly angry with injustice. He's clearly angry with us when we're being religious, but we're not focusing on justice, on the needs of the poor, when we're actually doing religious things, but at the same time oppressing others or talking maliciously. Why is he so angry with this? I think that Mozambique is a really good example. I've read and heard that wherever there's real poverty and real suffering, at root there's an injustice. And I think that's the case. In Mozambique, there's a huge lack of education. When girls reach 18, only half of them would have even completed primary school. That's despite there being an education system, many teachers, the law being that they should go to school. Why is that? Well, it's partly because the teachers are demanding bribes just to pass children. The teachers are demanding sexual favours to pass girls. It's an injustice at the heart. They do have hospitals, and they do have many people giving medicines and equipment to them, but there are so many people who are untreated or who go to hospital and come out dead. Why is that? It's because the doctors and the nurses are refusing to treat people unless they pay something. It's because the doctors and nurses are taking medicines from the hospital and selling them in the community, oftentimes selling the wrong medicine for the wrong problem. There are courts, and there is good law there. Why isn't there justice? It's because when we take a case to the court, the front court staff will say, "Oh, maybe you can give me something, and maybe then I'll give this case to the judge." That's happening in Mozambique. It's happening at all levels, at the very top and at the very bottom. There's injustice all over the world. And our call is to see it, for it to touch our heart, and for us to act. The Bible reading that we have today is very much a calling to justice, to set the oppressed free. I'm often asked about mixing religion and politics. Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Who says that we can't mix religion and politics? I've never read in the Bible that we can't, but I've heard plenty of politicians who don't want to be challenged saying that we can't mix the two. Gosh, the Bible is full of politics. What was Moses to do? Go before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." How political is that? What was Nathan called to do? He was called to go to David and say, "You have sinned, you have committed adultery, and you have murdered." He was called to go to David and say, "I know you want to build this temple, but God's saying no." How political is that, being called to go and speak with the king? We have Jesus, who was confronted with a woman who was going to be stoned because of adultery. He intervened. That's political. He spoke to the Pharisees. He told them some very difficult things, and the religious leaders. John the Baptist spoke out about Herod and his relationship. Paul claimed that he was a Roman citizen so that he would go before the right court. Paul called the cities to go before the courts and to go before the governors. And Jesus even told the disciples, I think it's Mark 13, that you will be before the authorities and the leaders so that you can proclaim me. We can't worry about separating our call to do justice and politics. In fact, we can't separate any of our Christian life from our secular life because there's no difference. If we're Christians, we're Christians. We're called to worship God here in the service, tomorrow as we go to the shop, as we go to the garage, as we go to our work, as we go wherever. How do we do it? I think some hints for me were when Paul told us to take every thought captive before our Lord. For when we're told to glorify God in everything we do, whether we sleep, eat, whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. If we can really think about our lives this way, everything will be about worshipping and glorifying God. And that's what our lawyers had to do as well. Use their profession, use themselves going to these courts, going to places where there are injustices, to show God's love and grace and mercy. I wanted to share with you a little about the history of a monk. In around 2010, one of the leaders from BMS went to Mozambique and met with a pastor. Now this leader, his name is Andrew North, he had been in Uganda and helped to establish a Christian lawyers organisation there. When he went to Mozambique, he felt God placing on him that he wanted something similar in Mozambique. So he prayed and he said, God, if this is the case, bring me two people who are involved in justice and have this on their hearts. The next day, God brought him a pastor who was studying law. And that pastor said to him, I have a passion for justice and I want to use my vocation for God and for justice. That very same weekend, there was a visiting lawyer from Maputo who also had that passion. So they met with Andrew, they prayed together. Andrew came back to the UK and prayed. An opening for a conference came up. So BMS paid for a few local Mozambican Christian lawyers and law students, including that pastor, to go. They were on fire for justice after that conference and went back and encouraged a few others to be part of it. Through that small step of choosing people, praying, hearing from God, has come what we have now. My own history is, I guess, similar. Before God asked me to do this, he put very much on my heart that I needed to delight in him and seek his justice, seek his kingdom. And so I just spent time not worrying too much about what I would do ahead, but simply delighting in God, seeking his kingdom and his justice. And so he brought me into the picture of what these Mozambican Christian lawyers were doing. Another thing that touched me, I think, when I was there was what we were sometimes called to do. So I went there with these huge needs. There's trafficking, there's all sorts of things, and I really wanted to do something very, very big and special. And the people that I went to serve, the Christian lawyers, we wanted to go into the schools and go into the communities and do something big. We wanted to talk about protection of children and other things. But when we got on our knees before God and prayed about it, we honestly believed that what God wanted was us to just simply speak in the churches. It wasn't very sexy. We weren't out there building up our name. But we really believed that if the churches weren't right, if they weren't treating children well, if they weren't doing justice, if they were violent places, why are we teaching in the community? Let's get our house in order first. And I really praise God again because things came of that. One church with a group of Christian primary school teachers, asked us to come and speak with them. And here we are. That's actually my own church, this one here. And so we went there and we did a day of talking about child protection. At the end of the day, we had a question time. And one of them said, I think you've probably read this story, it's been shared with you, but it touches me over and over. Okay, so we've learnt a little bit today, but what about this? We know of a girl and she is being beaten. She's 16. She is refusing to obey her parents. She is refusing to marry the 40-year-old man that they are saying she must marry. And so they're beating her. Is that okay? What's she doing wrong? What's wrong in this? And so we're able to say to them, it's wrong. Not what she's doing, but what's being done to her. Number one, you cannot force marriage. Number two, you're not allowed to marry before you're 18. And number three, you cannot beat somebody. All of it is illegal. Armed with that knowledge, a group of three hopped on a small minibus, went 3 hours to where this girl was living, went into that girl's house and said to the family, we've just been at a legal education and Christian lawyers have told us that you are wrong, what you're doing is wrong, and if you don't stop, we're going to the police and they'll stop you. And the family said, we didn't know it was wrong. We honestly didn't know it was wrong. We're going to stop. They handed this girl over. They took the girl, placed her with her sister, who was actually part of them, which I didn't know. And then, just a few months ago, we were invited to do another legal education in the very town where she's living. And her sister was part of that legal education. And she came and thanked us. This girl is studying at school. She's realising her potential and she's involved in the church. And so just us being faithful to the little thing God asked us to do, go and speak just in the churches, it resulted in not just one girl, but I know many others who are now being freed, set free by God. I think I just wanted to share a few more small things. I think it's about the people that God puts in front of us. It's the people he puts in front of us. He gives us compassion. We learn their needs and he gives us the abilities to meet those needs. And so one woman is Zita. Zita was in a coffee shop. Now, I wanted to relax sometimes, so I went to a little coffee shop and I met Zita. She was someone serving coffee there. And she talked to me and I talked with her. And after a little while, she said to me, I need a church. I said, wow, you do need a church. That's true. Where do you live? And she told me, well, as it's God's way, our church was doing a church plant starting that very Sunday in the community where she was living. Couldn't believe it. And so she happily went and she's part of that church. She became a big blessing to me because I really needed someone to help ground me, to teach me more Portuguese and just let me know how people there felt. And she met with me each week to do that. In fact, we studied the Bible together in Portuguese. This other precious woman, Anastasia. I saw her at church one day, but nobody wanted to talk to her because she was poor, she was separated from her husband, and she wasn't in a good way. But I decided just to speak with her, and we built a relationship. It turned out her husband was so very violent to her that she knew the next time he was violent, it would be death. She was wounded all over. She left him and unfortunately found another man and fell pregnant to him. Now, that was actually part of her necessity, because if she wasn't with a new man, if she wasn't pregnant by a new man, then her old one could claim her back. It was unfortunate and people were against her for that. But nevertheless, God loves her, God has compassion for her, and gifted me to be able to just come alongside her, see the baby born and healthy. And see, God intervene in her life. She gave her life to Jesus. And when the little child was just young, she needed help to get the father of the child to recognize him. And so that's something that we're able to do with her. A little thing, but God's action. Just wanted to share with you just some photos of some of the women that we've been able to speak with, church women in churches, who have been able to come and listen to what their rights are, what their responsibilities are, and exercise them. This has been possible because we've been able to take time to rely on God. I think, like me, you've been very much looking at the vine and the branches, and for me, it was very much seeing myself and our team as branches hanging off the vine and knowing that we had no sustenance, nothing that we could do unless Jesus was pouring his nutrients from the vine through us and filling us up. It was about having mercy. It's about having compassion. And I'll share with you that like all of us, I also failed. I failed to have mercy and I failed to have compassion. And there's just one particular day when God did bring that to my mind, when I went home after a horrible day where people weren't listening to me and taking account of me. And I poured it out before God and said, look what I've sacrificed, look what I've given up, and they don't even listen to me. Yeah. And that's when Jesus reminded me of when he met with Matthew, and he was a tax collector, and Jesus went into his home and all of the Pharisees were saying, why are you eating with sinners, tax collectors? And he said, I came not for the righteous but for the sinners. Go and think about what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And that's what God has for us. We need to desire mercy. We will sacrifice, but it's our joy and our privilege and our pleasure. I'm thinking very much when I consider Isaiah 58 about the call in there to fast, the call in there to have a Sabbath, the call in there to seek justice. We're told here that we must call the Sabbath a delight. Actually, this time where you're, and me too, where we're in between one thing and another, this must be our delight, because this is a gift of God where we are to seek him. It's a gift of God where we can look at our own lives. Am I oppressing anybody? Am I putting a burden on someone else that I shouldn't be? Am I talking maliciously about anybody? Is there anything in me that's not just? It's a chance to bring that before God. It's a chance to look around at the needs of the community. Where are they? Is there poverty in this community? Is there injustice in this community? Is there suffering? What's that? What's going on? And a time for God to show us what we have in our hands. And then God will use that in his time for his glory. But we need to be motivated by compassion, and it takes time. It takes being in this time of Sabbath to enlarge that, I guess. We need to be merciful. We need to be loving justice and seeking God's way. Thank you so very much for your prayers. Thank you so very, very much. Oh, it's a blessing that you prayed, because look what your prayers have done. Look what our great God has done. And let's see. Let's watch this space and see what God's going to continue to do there and here for his glory.